JM and the AM on a Monday morning. Today is October the 7th, 1 year on the secular calendar since the massacre perpetrated by the enemy, who utilized the most brutal tactics ever known to mankind to murder Jews. We still, of course, think of every single day those who are still being held hostage. Day number 367, we still remember and think about those soldiers who defend us each and every day. We think of the victims of terror and what their families are going through over the last year and beyond that, of course. And today's a day to reflect and to think about what we can do in order to secure the hostages' release and reflect on what so many people, families, and communities went through in Israel 1 year ago today, October the 7th of 2023. Reuven Ziegler is with us live via telephone. He's the editor of the brand new book entitled One Day in October, 40 Heroes, 40 Stories. Yair Agmon and Oriya Mevorach are responsible for the book. Both best-selling acclaimed authors in Israel. And for information, go to our friends at Koren, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. You could order the book literally from the comfort of your own home or even on the road. Order it now, One Day in October, 40 Heroes, 40 Stories. Reuven Ziegler, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Good to be here.
Where were you on October the 7th 1 year ago today?
I was at home. I live in Alon Shvut. Actually, most of our kids were off doing, you know, their things in yeshiva here, there. So we only had one of our kids with us at home. And on that day, we had four kids called up to go fight. All four boys who are all combat soldiers. One was in Sadir. He was already in the army. And the other three were in Miluim. And it's a very unforgettable and kind of traumatic experience when your son gets a message and he runs upstairs, gets into his uniform, packs a bag. You're downstairs, you know, packing him up as much food as you can. And then you give him a bracha before you send him into battle. It's kind of surreal.
And on Shabbat, it's even more trepidating.
And then we walked out into the street. We took him, we walked him to the car, and then a bunch of friends joined him, and they drove off. And then we look up and down the street, and we see the same thing in front of every single house. People walking out, you know, we saw next door to us, young woman in, 8 months pregnant, holding a two-year-old, walking her husband to the car. And then just, parents walking their kids to their cars, and just from our little yeshuv, I think that the 400 cars left on that day.
And not to remove any focus from October the 7th, and what you're describing is so important for all of us to hear, but what you've just described has been going on, obviously, on, in different ways and in different circumstances and in different amounts since then. Since then, so many mothers and wives have been left alone. Since then, so many children have sporadically seen their fathers. And since then, people like yourself have been watching your boys go in and out of the army. I'm making that assumption. What has this past year been like for them?
Yeah, I mean, one son, he's in Hezder and Shir Dalid, and he's in the army. And so he has spent, 10 months without a vacation, without rotation, out to do, usually you do a couple of months of duty and then a couple of months of practice, but he's been on duty over Rosh Hashanah he was in Lebanon. Thank God he's out now, but he's going back in, unfortunately. And the other boys, yeah, they each did about 6-7 months of Miluim. That son who we sent off on the first day, after finishing 7 months of Miluim, he went on a little trip, and now he got a call from his Miluim unit saying, "Be prepared. We're probably going to need you back later this week." So we're waiting to hear what happens. So that will be his third round of Miluim.
I almost feel guilty speaking to you about the book. Your story might be more important for people to hear at this point. Did the son who spent Rosh Hashanah in Lebanon report anything of significance to you? Any story, anecdote, episode, or I don't know, spiritual moment that, you know, that caught his attention as he was defending the Jewish people and at the same time trying to have whatever he could of a Rosh Hashanah holiday?
Well, he said that they were basically awake for almost 4 days straight. I mean, they slept 2 hours here, 2 hours there. At one point, he was up for 35 hours straight. And then at one point, they had a little bit of a break. So he said twice it happened to him that he tried to daven Shmoneh Esrei, and he fell asleep in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. That's never happened to him before. So I don't know if he ever made it to the end of the Amida. But that was his Rosh Hashanah. But you know, actually when I was in shul, the guy behind me, you know, he asked me, so where's your son? It turned out that both of our sons were in the same place. My son, they were in the same larger division.
Right.
His son was a miluimnik and my son was a regular soldier. But they were both in together. And so I said, I wonder if they even heard shofar.
Right.
So he said, every time they're shooting their cannon, that's a trua.
That's an understatement. Reuven Ziegler is with us. Where are you from originally, by the way?
New York, like many people.
So it must be obvious to you because of your experience outside of Israel, just how difficult it is for us to relate to what you're telling us of what's happening 6,000 miles away.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you know, during the year when we had boys in Miluim, my wife and I didn't travel. You know, we needed to stay in the country. Right. But then in the summer, everyone, thank God, was out of Miluim. And so we said, okay, we're going to take a little trip to the States. And what we saw there was in all the Jewish communities, such identification. So, I mean, people obviously you can't have the same experience.
Right. You're not there. Right?
But we saw people with flags, with hostage signs, with, you know, they want to know, they care, they, you know, so, I mean, you know, they had signs on their lawns, we stand with Israel, and to some extent, I even felt that, like, they were experiencing a little FOMO.
Wow.
We're experiencing Jewish history, and they're on the sidelines, but they want to be part of it.
I'm glad you're saying this. I mean, my role, I still believe, is to be as critical as possible when we're not focusing on Israel enough, and that's fine. But I'm glad to hear that someone from your perspective had that feeling and continues to have that feeling. The book is called One Day in October. Reuven Ziegler, you're credited with founding this project. Tell me about how this all came about, which ended up being this book that I hold today, One Day in October, 40 Heroes, 40 Stories.
Well, you know, when the war started, obviously everyone was in shock and in mourning as the dimensions of the tragedy became clear. And just the extent of the evil that we saw on that day, just the darkness, it was unfathomable. It's like, that's what our grandparents saw,
yep.
You know, but we didn't expect to see that in our lifetime. And so basically a week into the war, I actually have the date because I wrote myself an email on Motzei Shabbos, October 14th, outlining this project. Apparently on Shabbos, I must have been thinking about this. and then on Motzei Shabbos, I wrote myself an email to speak to my Hebrew editorial team the next morning, and I did. And I said, look, each of us is trying to help as much as we can. You know, we're getting together care packages for soldiers and so on. I said, but what can we do as a publishing house? I mean, our publishing house, it happened to be that more than half the men in the publishing house were called up to duty. Wow. And almost everyone who was left had either children or husbands or whatever who were fighting. I said, but look, we're here. Our children, husbands, whatever, they are in Miluim. I said, we also have to be in Miluim, in Tzva HaRuach, in the army of the spirit. We have to uplift the spirit. I said, what can we do as a publishing house? So I said, okay, one thing we can do is to send out, you know, chumashim and sidurim and tehillim to soldiers. That's great. We did. And then another thing is we can use our WhatsApp groups and our newsletters to send out a message of chizuk every day. That's great. I said, but the one thing that I noticed that really gives people strength and hope and resilience is that even within all the darkness that we saw on October 7th, there were so many incredible points of light, so many stories of heroism dozens and dozens that were coming out every day. And I said, this is what people need. I said, we have to collect a book of these stories and get it out to Am Yisrael to give them their resilience, to give them their hope, to give them their healing. It's the only thing. In fact, like we said, on that day, like what happened to the Tzelem Elokim? It was so, I said, these people, these heroes who just got up and went to help people who they didn't even know, that's the Tzelem Elokim. That's what we stand for. I said, and Israeli society is going to be shattered by this day. And we have to be thinking about the day after. And really the values and the commitments and the humanity, the love, the responsibility, the Avas Yisrael that these people demonstrated, I said, that's what we have to give Am Yisrael to light the way to build the future on the day after. And so we put together a team, and we didn't want just it. We didn't want it to be a journalistic book, just a fact. You know, this is what happened, you know, third person narration. I said, we want to interview the people themselves if they're alive. And if they're not alive, interview someone close to them and get a three-dimensional portrait of the person, not just what he did on that day, but who he was. And what's incredible is that these are regular people like you and me, but they found deep within themselves the resources to do extraordinary things on that day. They heard the call and they answered it. And that's really like, now we're in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. This is really a Musar Haskil for all of us. Yep. That we all have to be able to find that deep within us. Do we really have it?
Yeah, the dedication of the book cites the heroism, selflessness, courage that exemplifies what it means to be truly responsible for one another and reawakening our fundamental value of unity. The book, by the way, dedicated by members of the South African Jewish community to all the people cited for their acts of bravery and all the heroism that's cited in this book, and among them, of course, Captain Daniel Peretz, who, of course, the son of our dear friend, Rav Daron Peretz, leader of Mizrahi. Reuven Ziegler is with us one day in October. Now, look, every one of these stories, and I have the book in front of me so I can attest to it, can be a conversation in and of itself. You got to give us one, Reuven, and usually I do it, but in this case, I'm going to turn to you because I don't know which is the best example to share with this audience. Which of these 40 would you relate to us now and give us a taste of the spirituality, of the care one for another, of the heroism and courage that you just described?
Well, first of all, one thing that we tried to do is that we wanted it to be very diverse. We didn't want it to be only soldiers or only civilians or only old people or only young people or even only Jews. So we hired a researcher. We said, okay, first thing we need to do is collect stories. After a day and a half, he came back to us. He said, okay, I have 250 stories. So we said, wait, stop. Don't research anymore. We're going to pick from these stories. And so it's not like these 40 stories were the best ones. We could have had 250 stories. We probably could have had 500 or 1,000 stories. But, you know, we had to draw a line somewhere. But so we have really like people like our oldest hero here is an 85-year-old. Our youngest hero is an 8-year-old and everything in between. So it's really hard to pick one because each one represents a different form of heroism. You know, some of them did like crazy acts of like, you know, like they're superheroes. It's amazing. And some of them did very simple things, but great humanity, you know, like they cared about the dignity of people. Like even the people in Zaka, you know, they didn't save anyone, but they cared but they risked themselves and they risked their neshamot for like what they saw that day. But in order to bring people to a decent burial, in order to give closure to the families, and, you know, we even have one hero in the story who actually, he went out to save people and he didn't save a single person. He got shot in the leg and he had to be evacuated. But you know what? He's also a hero.
Right.
Because he got up and he did something. So it's, you know, or a young mother who, you know, her husband is fighting off the terrorists. Basically, he sacrifices himself to save her so that she can run away with their 1-month-old baby. And she's hiding and trying to dissociate in her mind from what's happening. Like she says, people are actually hunting me. Like they're hunting me and my baby. So she said, okay, I'm an actress. I'm an actress in a Holocaust movie. That's how she dissociated. But that's crazy. I mean, she actually was an actress.
so I and, guess.
But she said, okay, I'm going to do, I'm going to do an acting exercise in my mind. Because if I face up to what I'm really facing, it's too much to handle.
Did your two authors, and they're both well known, did your two authors meet everybody? Did they sit face to face with the people that are describing this? Obviously, those who are alive, we get it. But were they able to, you know, to meet all of them and not just depend on the researchers' work to put together these tales?
Well, it wasn't just that it was too much work to meet everyone. It was l'chatchila. Like they said, if we meet everyone, so then we're gonna be influenced by who they are. We might not convey on the page.
Wow.
Who they are. So they said, we don't want to meet them. We want to just meet their words,
right,
and try to, that way we can work with the words and make sure it conveys who the person is. I mean, what they did is really supreme artistry. These two authors are super talented, which is why we picked them. They got we set up a team of research of interviewers who are people, experienced, very sensitive people who can draw people out. We even had a professional therapist who interviewed the children, you know, with an adult in the room.
Right.
And they had these 10-15,000 word transcripts. And from that, our authors crafted a 3,000 word story. Because, you know, when a person tells a story, it goes in lots of different directions. It's hard to follow. But the authors knew how to find those moments. And the interviewers knew how to ask those questions that you would really get a sense of the person. It, by the way, one of the amazing things about the book is that if you read any of these stories, you don't get to the 7th of October till maybe page 3, 4, 5. Because first you learn about who the person is.
Right.
And you actually love the person. Like, you see, they're just... they're likable people. They're not perfect. We even portrayed them with their flaws. And that's fine. By the way, each one of the heroes, they reviewed their story and they approved it.
I saw that in the book and I was wondering about that whole process. I mean, did anyone make major changes? Were they uncomfortable with stuff? Or basically they were pretty satisfied with what the authors had done?
For the most part, they were very satisfied and they made, you know, minor changes, you know, like to make it something a little more accurate. Right. Some at one or two points, they said, okay, you know what? This is too personal. Take out this line.
Right.
So that's legitimate.
Sure.
And there were some people who read it and said, you know what? This is too much exposure for me. I don't want the story to go in the book. And so we respected their wishes,
sure.
We interviewed, the first story in the book was supposed to be a hostage who was freed, who had an incredible story, which I read. But then she said, when we showed her the final story, she said, I need my privacy. I need to get back to my life. And I'd like you to take it out of the book. And so we said, no questions asked. It's out. You know, we respect your wishes. If you change your mind, let us know.
The book is called One Day in October. Highly recommending it. 40 Heroes, 40 Stories. It's a Toby press release. You can find it on the Koren website, KOREN pub.com, KorenPub.com. Again, highly recommended. And for those who are trying to get a real perspective on, especially from thousands of miles away, for those of you who are in Chutz La'aretz, who are in the diaspora, as to what these families and heroes and individuals went through and were able to accomplish on that day, make sure to pick it up. Reuven Ziegler is with us, editor of the book. What are your thoughts about today? I know, obviously, that, I mean, we discussed this earlier. All of us understand why there are people who want to observe today, October 7th, 100%. And obviously there are those who are going to pay even more attention to the yard site in the days after the actual yard site on the Hebrew calendar. You're in Israel. What are your thoughts about what's happening today?
Well, I think that one thing that comes through in all these stories, and that's a takeaway for all of us, is that, you know, this really shows that we're really one people. And, you know, people don't remember where we were on October 6th.
Right.
I mean, Israeli society was totally fractured on October 6th. It was really tragic. And it was just spiraling in a very bad direction. And suddenly the next day, you had such achdus, such a sense that we're all in this together. We're one family. I mean, these Miluim units, that they were getting 150% people coming. In other words, even people who weren't called up came. I mean, it happens to be, I said that I had four sons called up. That wasn't actually accurate. Two of them were called up and went in, and two of them just went in. And then one of them was called up the next day, but he was already on his base. And one of them wasn't called up, but he just joined a unit and went into Gaza. And he was actually an officer, and they said, but we don't have a place for an officer. He said, I'll just be a regular soldier. I mean, about a month later, they said, okay, one of the officers is leaving and you're the best candidate. So we're going to make you, you know, the platoon commander. But,
I always wonder about that. I wonder about, especially in these circumstances, about, you know, a father watching a child volunteer when they could legitimately not go and, you know, and check in with their unit. Does a father, like in your case, try to voice an opinion on this, or you sit back and allow the son to do what they wish?
Well, I mean, you probably know when kids are that age, they make their own decisions. I'll tell you, actually, with one of my sons who volunteered, I didn't realize at the time that he was volunteering. I only found that out like a couple of weeks later, that he had gone in on October 7th and he only got his call up on October 8th. So he didn't consult me. I think that this is, you know, this is the message. If you look at all these heroes, they're so diverse. You have religious, non-religious, Haredi, Chiloni, you have Druzim and Bedouins, and you have all sorts of people. And we have to learn. I mean, we learn from this. You know, our enemies don't distinguish between us, and we have to stick together. We can disagree on a lot of issues. That's fine. But there's a difference between disagreeing within the family and disagreeing with hatred, with dismissing the other side, with, you know, dissociating yourself from the other side. And this is what also the Jews in the diaspora, like, they're also part of this. In other words, these Chayalim who are fighting, they're not just fighting to save the homes of the people in Israel. Yep. They're fighting for the people in Chutz La'aretz also. Yep. They're fighting so that they will have dignity, strength, so that our enemies won't think that they're easy fodder either. So everyone has to really, I think, come behind, you know, realize that we're all in this together.
What a delight to speak with you, Reuven. Reuven Ziegler, everybody. Go to the Koren website, korenpub.com. The book is entitled One Day in October, 40 Heroes, 40 Stories. Reuven's helped us focus on this topic on this October the 7th, 1 year later. I take this opportunity to wish you a Gemar Chatima Tova. Please tell your children that we pray for their safety every single day.
Thank you. I'll just tell you just one last word, sure, if I can say. We've gotten thousands of letters from people about this book. I mean, it's been on the Israeli bestseller list for 22 weeks running. It was number one for a number of weeks. Wow. And in America also, it's like we sold out our first printing before it even came into stock. And so we had to reprint more. We have certain themes that keep on coming up in the responses that people came, like, you know, it's healing, but the best ones that I like, aside from the ones that we got from soldiers in Gaza who said, you know, we were worn down, we went in with a lot of morale after 5 months of fighting, we didn't have koach, and then we read this book and it gave us back our morale, it showed us what we're fighting for. But the best responses are from people who really, before October 7th, before they read the book, they really didn't feel so connected to Am Yisrael. And they said, people like as secular as can be. And they said, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm really, really proud to be part of Am Yisrael.
Amazing.
And I think that's what we should all take away from this.
Amazing. Tada rabba. Thank you, Reuven. And Gemar Chatima Tova. Happy, healthy, and sweet new year.
To you too, and thanks for the good wishes to the boys.
Yes.
I'll let them know.
Please let them know. A lot of people around the world are praying for them and their comrades. One Day in October, 40 Heroes, 40 Stories. Go to the Koren website. It's a Toby Press release. Go to the Koren website, korenpub.com. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app.